Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyar, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host.
And I'm Doug McBurney, sitting in once again, host of the Weekly Worldview, heard exclusively on the internet at KGOV.com.
That's right. But, you know, Doug, Bob Enyar Live is on the internet, and now we're all over the country.
That's true. From humble beginnings. Who knows where you can go? The sky's the limit.
At least we're on a thin band that runs along the northern part of the eastern part of the country. Not quite all over the country.
You could say virtually coast to coast. Because, you know, the Northeast is the most important part of the country.
That's right.
And the Midwest.
Yeah, and Denver. Yeah. Denver's sort of on the coast of the Pacific Rim.
Sure.
If you wanted to look at it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're a relativist geography type.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
They stopped teaching geography 30 years ago, so nobody would know.
You've got to be careful what you say.
We're coast to coast from... Yeah, coast
from
to coast.
From Rockport to Denver.
Right. At least half... Well, the public school teachers in the audience would believe it.
Sure they would.
They would think it's coast to coast.
Yeah, in fact, they'd take notes for tomorrow's lesson plan.
That's right.
Bob, I hate to do this to start out on a downer. But got some bad news.
The 800 number's not working again?
No, the 800 number's working. By the way, that was the good. Let's start with not a downer, but an upper.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. The 800 number's working. It's 800-8-ENYART. That's 800-8-E-N-Y-A-R-T. Write it down. You got your pen ready? It's 800-836-9278. Give us a call from anywhere around the country. Toll free. We'll pay for the call. Well, you'll pay for the call, actually.
You know, normally an 800 number is meant so people could remember and figure out how to dial a number.
Exactly.
Like 1-800-FLOWERS.
Sure. But that was brilliant.
But we have... That was brilliant.
Yeah.
That's made millions.
Yeah.
I use that.
I've used it myself.
If I realize it's my mother's anniversary tomorrow.
Right.
And that's always when I remember.
What are you going to... Yeah.
You call from your cell phone in the car, 1-800-FLOWERS.
Yeah, and you got it made.
And you're a hero.
Mm-hmm.
But... You know, 1-800-ENYART, nobody on the radio knows how to spell that.
Right.
We might as well have 1-800 some Japanese name that no one could pronounce.
But no, it's ENYART, and it's simple. It's E-N-Y-A-R-T.
Right.
E-N-Y-A-R-T, 800-8-ENYART.
So the 800 number's working. The 888 number's working for people to order things. What's the bad news?
Oh, the bad news. Well, this, and I hate to start the show this way, but Buddy. You remember Buddy, the chocolate Labrador retriever?
Buddy the dog, the first dog.
Yes, that came in and salvaged the end of Bill Clinton's presidency. You remember that, right?
Right, right.
Restored some semblance of respectability to the Clinton administration there right at the end of his administration.
Yeah.
Well, Buddy unfortunately passed on today.
Buddy died?
Well, actually, he passed on yesterday, but it was just confirmed and reported today.
I didn't think he was all that old.
No, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, he was only 8 months old when Bill Clinton... purchased him.
Oh, so he's only a few years old.
He's a young dog.
Years, that's young, right?
Yeah.
He's a young dog.
He was a young dog.
I wonder what he died of.
Well, let me give you the details. I've got a story from the Associated Press. Buddy, you just have to bear with me, Bob. I have to choke back.
Oh.
Okay, Buddy, President Clinton's ebullient chocolate retriever, was killed by a car near the Clinton home. Yeah.
Killed by a car.
Now
that is sad.
It is sad. I mean, when somebody's dog dies,
right?
You know, and I got nothing against Buddy. I like chocolate labs.
Yeah,
so it's a good breed. Let's see, the Julia Payne, a Clinton spokeswoman, she said that neither the ex president nor his wife, Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, were at home at the time.
Wait a minute.
Of Buddy's untimely
demise.
The
dog was killed.
Yeah.
Maybe he was trying to run away.
Well, it does say here, police said it was unclear whether Buddy was being walked at the time or had escaped from the Clinton home.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah.
Is that the actual term? What is that, Associated Press?
Associated Press, yeah.
Or he had escaped from the home.
Escaped.
So he escaped, and he got killed trying to escape.
Right. There was a
38
caliber revolver was found somewhere near the dog's body, but evidence that it was actually related to.
And Bill and Hillary were out of town?
They were out of town.
That's their MO. They're always out of town when something like
right.
this
Right. Someone needs to check this dog for carpet fibers.
This is bad.
Figure out what's going on here.
This is really bad. We'll go to the phones in a moment. 800-8-ENYART. Or you can also call 1-888-8-ENYART. And so we'll get to the phones in a moment. But, Doug, that that sad story reminds me of a much sadder story.
I don't know if it could get much sadder than Buddy.
Well, remember the story about Bill Clinton raping Juanita Broderick? That's obviously a tragic.
Yeah. In fact, not only do I remember it, but I know that an awful lot of people around the country remember it because, well, it got a lot of press when the story first broke.
Right. Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, Dateline NBC, and then that was it.
That was, except for us.
Except for us. We did protests in about 147 cities.
Right.
Around the country.
In the rain, in the freezing cold.
Clinton rapist signs. The signs you made were the ultimate, the huge, like the size of a bedsheet, Clinton rapist.
And
we brought him to New Zealand.
That's right. Confronted him face-to-face in New Zealand with him. Where else did we hit him? We nailed him at a high school here in Denver.
Yeah.
You guys got Hillary. Downtown Denver, was it?
Yeah. Oh, and we got both of them and up in Aspen.
Up in Aspen, they had to face the Clinton rapist sign.
Aspen was unbelievable. The Clinton rapist protest in Aspen. Now we did it in 147 cities, from Martha's Vineyard all the way through San Diego all the way to Auckland, New Zealand. But in Aspen, the whole town had come out to greet Clinton's motorcade,
mm-hmm.
and it was like a parade atmosphere.
Oh yeah.
And how many of us were up there? A dozen of us so with.
Yeah, I think a dozen.
Huge signs, and hundreds of people that came out, we handed them our leaflets that Bill Clinton raped Juanita Broderick.
Yeah.
And you read through that, and the evidence is overwhelming. And then our signs and our demeanor as we talked to these people. And when finally it came time for the motorcade to come through town, could you describe what it was like?
Well, it was like a funeral procession.
That's right.
Dead silence on
the
street.
Not a single... Right. Cheer. No one waved.
Right. When we got up there at 6 a.m., it was like the circus is coming to town.
Right.
And by the time Clinton actually made it coming through, it literally was like a funeral. It was great.
It was,
you know,
like
the one thing
funeral.
I remember most about that protest, though? Mm. And I don't know, you probably have to help me with this and refresh my memory. But you had, we were walking down there with our signs saying Clinton's a rapist, and some guy comes out of a very nice apartment-looking building, and he says, "Why don't you guys get a job?"
Right.
What did you say to him?
I can't remember. And then we said, "Look, there's overwhelming evidence that Bill Clinton raped one of his campaign workers."
Right.
And he said, "So what?" And I said, "You are a homosexual."
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And we have this on videotape. You are a homosexual. And boy, did he and I get into it. The cops eventually came to break it up.
Bob has very, very sensitive gaydar.
But he then he admitted he was a homo.
Yes, he did.
And we got that on tape, too. You are a homosexual. And then we had this argument. It's hard to have an argument with some homo taking a hissy fit. But anyway, so we had this argument. And then he said, "How did you know I was a homosexual?" "Because you didn't care if a man raped a woman. That's how. Because you're broken." We'll be right back.
Some people believe that Christians can speak in tongues. Some people believe that speaking in tongues has passed away. Are we saved by grace alone, or are there works involved? Some people believe that miracles are happening today. Others don't. How can all these disagreements come from the Bible if it's the inspired Word of God? Is there an answer to all these questions? In his book, The Plot, Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, shows you the one Bible verse that solves all the apparent contradictions. Think that one verse can't solve these complex problems? Get The Plot today, and if you're not convinced, we will refund your money. Order The Plot for $29.95. Does God want the government to execute criminals? The Old Testament supports the death penalty, but now we are to turn the other cheek, right? The New Testament material concerning the death penalty starts in Matthew and continues through all the Gospels, Acts and Romans. It goes all through to Revelation. God and the Death Penalty is the video we've produced to arm you with the New Testament support for executing criminals. If the death penalty is immoral, then what does that say of God the Father demanding that Jesus Christ die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins? God and the Death Penalty, a 2-hour video exploring the biblical support of the death penalty, is available for $24.95 by calling 1-888-8-ENYART. Bob Enyart Live is back on the air. But to stay on the air and grow, we need to hear from you. We offer many products with Bob's insightful and unique biblical perspective. If you appreciate Bob's ministry, let us know by writing us at Bob Benyart Live, P.O. Box 583, Arvada, Colorado 80001, or go online to kgov.com.
We're back, Bob and you're live, 1-888-836-9278.
Bob, I hate to interrupt. The homo story was good, but I was going for the other story. There's another story. Do you remember how nice the homes in Aspen were lining the streets?
How we were
walking down the street shouting out that Bill Clinton had raped one of his campaign workers, and the one guy and his wife came out on their balcony or in front of their home, and they said, "Hey, get a job!"
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember? Do you remember what happened?
Yeah, and I shouted back to him, "Oh, yeah? My house is worth at least half as much as your house."
At which point, the guy's wife completely cracked up.
She laughed. It was pretty funny. We're in Aspen, you know?
Yeah, we're from Denver, by the way.
And my wife and I, we had just bought our dream home, and it's probably true. Our house is probably worth half as much as their house.
But, you know, what else was interesting about that? That the motorcade came through, that was in the morning, and then the motorcade was supposed to come back down the same route on its way to a fundraiser at some rich Democrat wench's home. Mm-hmm. And the motorcade, they actually diverted the motorcade
from
where we were.
And in Aspen, that was hard to do because, you know, you get a block off the main street and you're in these dirt roads going up the mountains.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was, it's they
amazing.
Diverted the motorcade.
50 vehicles, some of them armor-plated with guys with machine guns in them, and they're running away from us.
To get away from us. But, you know, you have three blocks worth of huge signs that say Clinton rapist. And, you know, when we saw him in Denver we went to Duh, you know that Institute of Higher Learning?
Yeah.
Duh.
D-U.
D-U.
Uh-huh, yeah, Duh.
Denver University. Mm-hmm. And he was Jason Troyer was holding a Clinton rapist sign, and Bill Clinton looked at it just 10 feet away from Jason and just bust out laughing.
Yeah, well, you know. You do what you can. You never know. You never know if you're going to get through to somebody.
Well, here's why it's interesting that comes up, because today I got to do an interview, actually in two parts, yesterday and today. We recorded it with a woman that's one of the significant figures in the story of Bill Clinton raping Juanita Broderick. You remember who was with Juanita just an hour after she was raped in the hotel room?
It was a nurse.
Yeah, you remember?
Norma
Rogers.
Norma Rogers.
Norma Rogers. And she's now married with a new last name, Norma Kelsey. But we interviewed her. She's shied away from the media. She talked a little bit when Juanita asked her to back in 1999. But she hasn't really had an interview with her whole story told.
And you got the interview?
Yeah,
You got it on tape?
Yep, and we're very thrilled about it. Her doctor in Tulsa is a Christian. And when he found out she was Norma Rogers.
That Norma Rogers.
He said, "Norma Rogers, are you da-da-da?" Because he's followed our show and knows the emphasis we put on what the story should be.
Wow.
And so he asked her, this is going back 6 months ago, if she would consider doing an interview with us at KGov and now on IRN and our affiliates, WAC, WHME, all these WRBS and on and on.
What a huge scoop. When do we hear it?
Right.
When do we get it?
Well, we're not going to air it immediately because, you know, you do a story about Clinton raped Juanita Broderick, nobody cares.
Unfortunately, nobody cares.
Right. But people should care, and it will go down in history, if partly because of us.
Oh, yeah.
And our effort to make it stick. And every now and then, from Politically Incorrect to Rush Limbaugh to Michael Medved, on, Clinton is called the rapist in chief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This story keeps it. So I was in a segment on Politically Incorrect where we're talking about Little League Baseball.
Oh, yeah, with the Cuban kid and all that.
Yeah, the pitcher who was too old.
Puerto Rican or...
Yeah.
I forget. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was able to work in the Clinton rapist thing in the Little League story.
That's amazing.
So it really has, you know, you can really make it fit one way or another. But anyway...
No, you can't. Okay. I don't know if anyone else could do that.
But anyway, you know, and Drudge talks about it now and then.
Oh, yeah.
But so when Clinton is in the news, I don't know what, but some upcoming Clinton story, I think that's when we release it. We put out a press release, and if the mainstream media ignores it, we have a chance with WorldNet Daily, and who else might cover
Newsmax,
it? Newsmax.
Drudge.
Right?
Drudge could definitely cover it.
Yeah.
Hey, that's great. How about this, Bob? How about we wait for the next either rape or sexual misconduct allegation?
Oh.
We'll wait for that.
Next time, Clinton.
Yeah. We'll wait for that. And then
like
that's
when he tried to hire
go.
An intern a few weeks ago. We did that story here.
He did.
I'm Bob and you're live.
How did I miss that story?
That was a funny story. But anyway.
Well, why didn't he hire her? What do you mean he tried to hire her?
She got offered the job and she decided not to take it.
Oh, really?
That was the story out of the New York Post. But anyway, okay.
Well, anyway, you got to be careful with this interview. You don't want this lady end up in Fort Marcy Park or anything.
No,
you
know. Clinton no longer is much of a threat to anybody. Yeah. They were actually worried about
being at the time?
Vilified.
Oh, I can imagine her worrying about being maybe audited and thrown in jail while he was president.
Right. They were.
Yeah.
And her husband is very protective, so she's hesitated. But now we have her full story. And so we'll air an entire show of Norma Rogers' firsthand account as a contemporaneous witness of Juanita Broderick right after the rape. When she saw her swollen face, her bit lips,
mm-hmm.
where Juanita said that Clinton bit her lips so that she couldn't move or get away. And her lips were swollen twice the size. Norma helped put ice on her lips, Juanita's clothing was ripped open so that she could be raped, literally, her pantyhose ripped out at the crotch. A terrible and despicable thing. So we'll get Norma Rogers' story on the show. We'll let people know when it's going to air. It'll be on the website, kgov.com, so we'll do it.
Man, that is a scoop. I can't wait.
All right.
You could do it at the opening of the library. Doesn't that open soon?
The Clinton's, the presidential library is 2004.
Is there that much material, really, in the Clinton presidency?
I don't know.
The guy's an empty suit.
You need this is a whole new effort. They need places for women's clothing.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And don't they have to bulldoze isn't there a cemetery full of old slaves that they have to bulldoze?
Slaves built a rail station.
They have to bulldoze that
And they
thing.
Had to wipe that out. I think so. They figured out they're just going to move it.
So it doesn't open until 2004, but I'm sure there will be an allegation before then. We'll get to that story.
Let's go to California. Our phone number, 1-800-8-N-Y-A-R-T.
E-N-Y-A-R-T.
Santa Clarita, California. Tony, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob.
Howdy, Tony. You're on with Doug McBurney.
Oh, hi, Doug. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, Tony. How's it going?
All right, Bob. I've watched your God's Criminal Justice System videos.
Yes, sir.
Have a question for you about drunk drivers and people that deal in drugs. What kind of sentences should they have?
Well, I have long advocated the death penalty for drug dealers. And, of course, you get railed when you do that in public.
Mm-hmm.
But the countries that have the death penalty for drug dealers, they don't have drug epidemic, and they don't execute drug dealers.
But you're
including California with that, right?
California with that?
No. But wait a minute. I'm gonna play ACLU advocate. Mm. Those countries that execute drug dealers, you can't really say that they're free because they're impinging on the liberty of their citizens to entertain themselves with the drug of their choice.
That's true. We don't care.
It's not okay.
Okay, good point.
You know, that's
they're not free. Don't care.
What California's done this past year, they passed a Proposition 36, and it keeps the people that are drunk driving and addicted to controlled substances, they don't put them in prison. They don't flog them. They don't put them to death. They send them to counseling.
And counseling obviously doesn't work.
Treatment.
Treatment. I went to 36 weeks or 42 weeks of counseling.
I remember that.
For when I spanked my stepson, five swats on the backside. And, Doug, you couldn't believe, Tony, how many people were in that same 40-week counseling program for the second or third time. It just doesn't work. It's a work. It's a big money-making part of the system.
Goodness.
Now, right. When I it's saw your fundraiser. When I saw your name come up, Tony, I thought that that some new laws had come into effect in California that were tougher on drunk driving. I guess I misunderstood that.
No. Actually, they let them out. They put them on probation. I'm looking at a paper. I think it's today's or yesterday's.
Yeah.
The first fatality, traffic violation fatality here in the center. San Fernando Valley.
From somebody who was a drunk driver who went through counseling and now has killed someone.
Yes.
Oh.
Right. The counseling is an utter failure. It doesn't work, and jail doesn't work either. Jail is school for criminals. It's not a correction facility. It's a joke.
Yeah.
So that person who was killed, those guilty for that death, the drunk driver, and the legislators who are trying to be creative and make it easy for people to be career drunk drivers. Flogging a drunk driver, at least.
That's what I was just thinking. If a guy gets caught driving drunk, but he hasn't killed anyone, but he's driving drunk, he's under the influence of alcohol, he's behind the wheel, he's obviously a danger to society.
If he was flogged and the judge ordered him to never again...
Yeah,
but you can't do that in California. We're a kinder and gentler society over here.
And a lot of people get killed as an outcome. You know, if you don't have the death penalty, really you do. It's just different people who get killed.
Right.
So instead of the drunk driver getting killed, an innocent victim gets killed.
Mm.
When you don't have the death penalty for guys who rape women and kidnap and murder, well, then just different people get killed, but you still have the death penalty.
That's right.
It's just who's going to die, the guilty or the victims.
Mm.
And when you don't have the death penalty, it's the victims who die.
Yeah, in this case, it was a 20-year-old woman, and her baby's in serious condition right now.
Oh, wow. What a tragedy.
Hey, Tony, can I ask you a question?
Sure, go ahead.
Out there in the San Fernando Valley,
mm-hmm.
Do they register sex offenders too?
Yes, they do. I think they mentioned them in the counseling as well. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think they probably worked them into some treatment programs.
Oh, no doubt they do.
Unbelievable.
And it's all a failure. So not only are the criminals responsible, but so are the legislators. The lawmakers,
right.
The defense attorneys, the prosecutors who are plea bargaining themselves to the next phase of their career. We have a corrupt criminal justice system, and there's only one cause for a crime epidemic, only one cause, and that's government. Bad government results in a crime epidemic.
Right.
So, and that's what we have. And everybody's celebrating that crime is down. We only have, 14,000 murders a year?
Yeah.
That's all.
Well, Bob, I've got to tell you, a lot of people that I know in my daily life who I talk to, they say, look, there's nearly 300 million people in this country. 14,000 murders a year, that's not that big of a deal.
Obviously, it's the crime rate that we need to look at, and it's a horrendous murder rate. And our statistics have gone down somewhat, but that's because we doubled the number of people in prison from 1 million to 2 million over the 90s.
Mm, that's true.
And so, of course, crime has gone down a bit. You locked up a million more criminals, but they're all going to get out. They're all going to get out. Just like Bill Clinton in Arkansas, Norma Rogers' dad was murdered by a guy.
Wow.
And he was on death row in Arkansas, and they got rid of death row in Arkansas. And then Clinton commuted his sentence. It was life without parole. Clinton fixed it so it's life with parole, and he's now been out in the streets for years.
Wow.
That's how broken we are. Tony, thank you very much.
We'll be right back on Bob Enyart Live, 800-8-ENYART.
All lines are busy at this time. For updated information on Bob's national tour and ShadowGov demonstrations, press 1. For Bob's mailing address, press 2. And if you're an atheist, an anarchist, an evolutionist, a humanist, a communist, a socialist, a garden variety, sodomite, a Democrat, or a transgendered freak of nature, press 3. If you're ordering by credit card, please leave your name and phone number, and your call will be returned.
You must be them Enyart people! Well, I'm not like any of those things that I just heard in that list of things he just said. I'm not an evolutionist or nothing like that. But I would just want to know, if you're the guy I've seen on Politically Incorrect, yeah, that's it. I just wanted to tell you that I think you guys rock. You guys are really cool, and you need to keep up the good work. So this is George from Jersey. Out.
Hi, I'm a garden variety sodomite and a transgendered freak of nature, and I'd really love a call back from Bob Inyart. So if you could give me a buzz, my name's Cody Lightholt. My phone number is 7. I'd really appreciate being straightened out because I'm sick of being a dirty fag. So thanks a bunch, Bobby. Talk to you later.
Hey, Mr. Inyart, I have actually viewed your website, and then I saw you on Politically Incorrect 3 times, and, well, I don't know what to say about you. All I can say is that I had an uncle that died of AIDS. I'm sure you refer to it as the gay plague. All I can say is that the majority of gays in this country are better people than you. Better than you or any other thing that you could ever be. I hate you, and I wish you had cancer.
I have never in my life heard such a hypocrite as this Bob Inyart. How in the world do you dare put him on the air? How can he judge anybody? He is terrible. You ought to be ashamed to even have him walking around.
Hey, Bob, I'm drunk. And guess what? God ain't gonna help me on this one. Take a guess of what I'm drinking. I'm drinking some vodka and some Strawberry Crush, buddy. Let me tell you what. I bet you're against too, right? Yeah, let me tell you something. Oh, yeah, and juice, too. Guess what, Bob Inyart? I'll tell you something. Bob Inyart, guess what? I'm really seriously drunk, but anyhow. Check it out, though. So, I'm a garden variety sodomite. Bob Inyart.
Hey, Doug, Tony from Santa Clarita, California. He's a postal inspector.
Oh, boy.
And relocated from Louisiana, where he used to watch Bob Inyart Live, and he listens to Weekly Worldview.
Oh, really?
Your show on KGov.com.
Yeah.
And he's got a website, straightistheway.com.
Gotta love that name.
Straightistheway.com.
Dig it.
You know, and I don't even think it's about homosexuals.
No. In fact, it would be the antithesis of homosexuality.
Yeah, I don't think
straight
it's against
is the way.
Homosexuals. It's about Christians.
Yeah, well, you know, straight didn't used to just mean not homosexual.
Right.
When the Boy Scout oath was begun to be morally straight, they weren't even thinking about the homosexuals.
No, right.
It was so far beyond the pale.
Now, homosexuals, they can't even think straight. So, of course, straight now means heterosexual.
Right. Straight now has become...
Just like gay. You can't say gay anymore.
The word straight now has a sexual connotation. That's how far down they've drug us.
It's all these words disgusting. That have been ruined. Even the word pile is now ruined.
All right. We're not going to... Bob, I wanted to ask you a serious question.
Well, wait. We've got to end that. Pile. You can't just throw that out there.
A pile? How could pile possibly have a...
Well, first there was Gomer Pyle.
Well, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
And then pile came to be the collective noun for homosexuals.
Oh, you like a herd of cattle?
Yes.
A flock of sheep?
Yes.
Yeah?
And a Google.
A gaggle of geese?
A pile of homosexuals. that's the collective noun. That's
terrible.
According to Webster's. We wouldn't say it if it wasn't official.
It's awful.
But anyway, okay, what question?
Oh, no, I just wanted to run my theory by you about drug dealers because he had mentioned something about drug dealers. And I had formulated this theory. This is an independently formulated theory, so I just want to run it by you. Tell me what you think. Anybody caught with enough drugs to kill somebody should be executed.
Executing drug dealers, I think, is a real good idea. And as a result, well, you win the war on drugs overnight, and you don't have to execute hardly anyone because people don't do it.
So all drug dealers,
no matter
what the drug?
Yeah.
Now, how do you define a drug dealer? Does he have to have a certain quantity of drugs? Yeah. That's Jason, our assistant producer, asked the question: how much marijuana would it take to kill someone? That's an unknown. That's an unknown. Well, possibly. So.
Well, not if that somebody, as is frequently the case, is a bus driver or a train conductor. Or
could take one joint to kill a whole busload of people.
How many times has that happened?
There was a train, wasn't there, in New York?
Yes, many stories like that over the years. And plenty of friends who are cops have told me that over and over, drunk driving accidents, there's marijuana.
Often there's other drugs involved.
Very common. Statistically significant.
What is this?
All right.
I don't understand that, Nathaniel. Right. You need to do a... Nathaniel, our board op, is trying to send us messages through the glass, but he needs to hone his skills.
Okay. So, now, Doug, the big news out today is Columbine.
Oh, I watched Good Morning America this morning. Brian Rohrbaugh was on with his lawyer, and they played the audio of a law enforcement officer having a casual conversation with, I believe it was Brian Rohrbaugh's...
Ex-wife, Sue Patron.
And her husband, Danny Rohrbaugh's stepfather.
Right, Rich Patron.
In which, I tell you, Bob,
and
I heard
Brian
the
was there, but he was in the background.
Oh. Well, I heard the audio. Yeah. This law enforcement officer directly contradicts the sworn statement he gave that is now a part of the official Columbine story.
Let's tell, there's an allegation that Danny Rohrbaugh was killed not by Dylan Klebold, but by one of the cops by accident.
Right.
And an accident is tragic, and the family understands in an event like Columbine, friendly fire is a real possibility. But what they don't understand is the lies that have been put forth to try to cover it up. You have an accident, that's a tragedy, and just admit it was an accident. Yeah. But the official timeline is that none of the cops got there in any kind of force until after the kids were dead.
That's right. That's the official
story. None of the cops got there until after the kids were dead. And we know that that's not true on a number of accounts. But this latest is Brian's tape. And, you know, Brian Rohrbaugh started taping interviews surreptitiously. People didn't know they were being taped.
Right.
People in the school district, Jefferson County School District, and the Sheriff's Department, he started taping them almost immediately, and he now has a treasure trove of lies, deceptions, contradictions regarding Columbine in general and his son's death. And we know that the cops were there when the kids were being killed.
That's right.
And this cop today, what was his point? He was saying that he said
he saw kids running out of the building, and yes, he did. One student fall, shot.
One student running down the sidewalk, and Danny Rohrbaugh was running down the steepest hill there around Columbine, down the sidewalk, and he was shot and killed on the sidewalk, and he said he saw him fall.
He said he saw, and then later realized that it was Danny.
Yeah, and and he didn't know until he saw the media accounts that it was Danny Rohrbaugh.
Right.
Of course, at the time, he didn't know who it was.
Right.
And then he's talking to the parents, and he says, I didn't know until later that it was
Your son. Yeah. And now, according to the official report,
in his own sworn
statement, he says that he was on the other side of the building.
And that he didn't see any kids getting killed.
Right.
And he was only telling the parents what he had heard from the media.
Right.
Now, the media wasn't there when the kids were getting killed.
No.
So that doesn't make any sense. Mm-mm. And he didn't know that Brian had taped their conversation.
No.
And Brian Rohrbaugh, and that's his business, audio.
He's an audiophile.
He is.
He really is.
And he's good.
Yeah, he's
pretty good. Makes good recordings. In fact, 60 Minutes, when they've done a Columbine show, they listened to Brian's tapes, and they said, how do you get this kind of quality? Your tapes are better than our tapes, because some of them are really fabulous.
Yeah, well, he's a man on a mission. And what do you think here, Bob? I mean, the pressure is starting to go up. Now we've got two law enforcement officers now whose careers are on the line. You've got O'Shea, who's been publicly accused of the shooting.
Right.
And the officer today, I can't recall his name.
Yeah, who lied.
But, who basically lied and went against his own sworn deposition. Now the pressure's up on him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember Brian telling you and I that if his lawsuit was dismissed, that it was going to be all-out war.
Right, and that's what happened. A few weeks ago, a local judge dismissed his lawsuit,
mm-hmm.
And he had said it will be a firefight.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to Good Morning America. We're going to go to the news. And we are going to make public the things we know.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been sitting on a lot of this for years.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a police report from a female officer who wrote that day that one of the girls had been shot in the head, was in her arms, and then she put her down, and then she died.
Yeah.
And she called an ambulance.
And, of course, the police didn't arrive until after all the kids were dead.
After all the kids were dead.
Yeah.
And
now that he hasn't dropped that bomb yet, Bob. I don't know that anyone's heard about that yet.
Well, I think Westward, maybe.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think. Maybe I'm wrong.
Anyway, he's got plenty more ammo.
And also, one teacher saw Danny get killed, or was right, I think saw Danny get killed, and Brian Raubaugh said to her, he said, you know, he didn't get shot in the back because Danny was running away from Klebold down the hill, and he was shot and killed, and the people thought he got shot in the back as he's running away.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to the teacher, he didn't get shot in the back. Do you want to know how he got killed? And she said, no, I don't want to know.
Oh.
And then 10 minutes later, she said, tell me, how did he get killed? And Brian Raubaugh said, he got shot in the chest from the front. And she said, oh, no, was it one of the cops?
Oh, wow.
And so there's a lot of stuff like that. And one of the cops says, this is another tape that's going to be made public eventually. One of the cops says, shoot her down.
Right.
They thought they shot one of the shooters.
Right. They thought they had shot Harris or Klebold or
right.
whoever
and
was involved.
And it was Danny. Yeah. And all that, it's an accident. That's fine. But once it happened, that's when they pulled back. That's when they decided to do nothing but secure the perimeter.
Right.
And that's when they let 3.5 hours after Harris and Klebold were dead, 3.5 hours before they went into the science room and got the teacher who died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
you know, that brings to mind about a year ago in Philadelphia, there was a hostage situation. And a law enforcement officer shot through a window and killed a hostage.
Okay.
And that night, I happened to talk with Brian Raubaugh, and I talked to him about what had happened in Philadelphia that day. The police in Philadelphia came out that day and said, this is what happened. We were trying to rescue these people. We killed a hostage.
Right.
And Brian said, Doug, if they would have just come to me and just told me what happened,
right.
They would have just not lied to me and told me what happened, then none of this would have been
they
necessary.
Could have been heroes.
Right.
And when you immediately start to rethink and to cover up immediately, so that 3.5 hours go by after everybody's dead and done, before you'll get a teacher who's bleeding to death, who dies, what they were thinking of is, we got to cover this up.
We got to cover our rear ends is exactly what they were thinking.
And we've got a sergeant who's now a lieutenant with the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department who's told us that the number one rule there is CYA.
Yeah.
We don't know what that means.
Well, for all you military,
that's the number one rule.
800-8-NYART. We will be right back.
Can a Christian lie without sinning? If the Nazis were at your door, is it a sin to lie to them so they don't find the family of Jews living in your attic? Was it wrong for the Hebrew midwives to lie to save the Israelite babies in Exodus chapter 1? And if that was immoral, then why did God reward them? Are Christians today nicer than God? Would the average Christian condemn Jesus if he came back today and called people names like swine, Matthew 7, or a dog, Matthew 15, or a snake or a brood of vipers, Matthew 23? Today, that would be considered unchristlike by most Christians, but he said it. And in an effort to make you more Christ-like, we've put together a 6-tape audio album called Nicer Than God. It's available for $29.95. Get the information you won't receive in the average Nicer Than God church. The world we live in is an immoral, disgusting mess. The problems parents face in raising children today are enormous and growing. So to help you in your responsibility to raise godly young men and women, we at Bob Benyard Live are offering the Train Up a Child package. The first item is a 100-page book written by Michael and Debbie Pearl, called To Train Up a Child. With over 300,000 copies in print, this is an invaluable resource for parents based on biblical truth, not psychobabble. And always easy to understand and clear-thinking, Pastor Bob Enyart rounds out this teaching tool. Included in the package are two sermons on child-rearing delivered by Pastor Enyart to his congregation in Denver, Colorado. Order the Train Up a Child package for $14.95 and get your child on the right path.
Hey, Doug, during the break, our engineer told us that a DARE officer told kids here in Arvada recently that you can't OD from pot.
OD meaning overdose.
Overdose. Like, and Tara, the teacher from New Orleans, called in a week ago, a week or two ago, and said the DARE officer in her class, which she was against because it doesn't work, was basically teaching the kids how to do drugs.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't surprise me.
Did I
ever tell you the story about when I was in eighth grade? I was in this tiny little town in West Texas in eighth grade.
Yeah.
Never heard of, I mean, maybe I'd heard of drugs, but never seen any.
Right.
Nobody, you know. I'm 13 years old, and here comes this drug education course, and in the auditorium of the school, they literally opened up these suitcases, and they were like glass cases.
We saw the same thing when I was a kid.
Everything you could imagine: needles, spoons, roach clips,
it was
joints,
so interesting.
Bags of dope. All of us are drooling, going, "Wow, we've heard about this stuff. There it is, right there." The school sponsored this thing,
right? And this teacher from New Orleans, Tara, says It encourages kids, it entices kids to learn the terminology and learn what it all looks like, and you could get a little familiar with it, and you could try it out. And, hey, you know, you can't OD on pot.
Can't OD on pot.
That's a good thing to teach kids.
Keep that in mind, kids.
Can't OD on pot.
Can't OD. You won't end up like Jimi Hendrix if you just stick to marijuana.
Right.
All right.
So, anyway.
It's discouraging. But that brings up it brings me back to our earlier conversation about Columbine.
Yeah.
Because driving on the way over here, listening to the radio, I heard a woman say that she thought it was fundamentally immoral to record someone's conversation without their knowledge.
Oh, brother. I wonder if she thinks abortion is immoral.
Well,
what radio station was she listening to?
Well, she was listening to a secular station with a secular host.
Who?
Reggie Rivers.
Reggie, pro-abortion. Pro-abortion. Homo. Prostitution, pornography,
sexually liberate the children,
drugs, sexually, right? Reggie Rivers.
Reggie Rivers once
chances
said,
"Chances are she's not."
Yeah, Reggie Rivers once said on the air that he thought if a man bought a Playboy magazine for a child, it would be okay as long as he had the parents' permission.
Right.
So that's where his audience is.
And he also said he could understand. He said, "I don't condone it, but I understand why the Romans would have killed the Christians." He put that in print in his Denver Post article.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, we know where his... Well, how do you come down?
Anyway, my point is, she's saying Brian Rohrbaugh, who's very well known for being a Christian, is immoral for recording a conversation.
He knows he's being lied to, by the way.
Right? She probably figures that abortion is okay, homosexuality is okay, sexual immorality of all sorts is okay, sex with different species, aliens.
All right, let's not go too deep into Reggie's demographic, Bob.
Right. So it's all okay. But Brian Rohrbaugh recording some law enforcement officer who's lying to him, she's more mad about that than about the cop lying about Danny being killed.
Exactly. Exactly.
These shallow...
What are you going to do? Well, I tell you, the depth of understanding about criminal justice is just so shallow. And this brings us
to... And what principle does it violate, Doug? Record someone's conversation.
To record someone's conversation.
Where is it in the Bible, in the Constitution, that says you can't record a conversation when you're talking to somebody? Especially somebody in the public talking to a governing official.
Well, I'll tell you exactly what it violates, Bob. It violates the liberals' sacred
anonymity and a lack of responsibility.
Right, anonymity.
Right.
And privacy. They have to be private and anonymous. That's how the liberals want to remain.
No responsibility.
Right.
If you look the other way when some kid gets killed and you want to cover it up, well, then you have every right to cover it up. And the parents who are trying to get at the truth have no right to document what you're telling them.
Yeah, that's when they start to become, that's when they start quoting morality, when they find out that the Christian's trying to.
Exactly. Planned Parenthood teaching young boys and girls how to be homosexuals. Mm-hmm. That, mum's the word on that.
Right.
But a Christian parent trying to find out how his kid really died, they get this righteous indignation.
You know what?
It's not against the law to record a conversation. It's not against any principle in the Bible. If you don't lie.
Now, that's in the Bible.
Yeah,
that's right. In the Bible.
I don't care if anybody records my conversation. When I've been on the air for 10 years, during the breaks, before and after the show, the microphones are always live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who was it? Newt Gingrich or who was it?
Oh, it was George W. Bush.
George W. Bush saying a few foul,
yeah, he did.
Foul words.
During the campaign.
Because he thought the microphones were off.
Right.
And that's happened for decades. But if you're the kind of guy that has to worry whether the microphones are on or off, then change the kind of guy you are.
Maybe you're fundamentally immoral. You know what it is, Bob? It's the liberals always get upset. I could even say it better. The Romans always get upset when they think the Christians might win. It really bothers them.
That's
they start getting nervous and they start quoting the Bible.
And that's why Reggie Rivers, so what's he going to do? Because he always hates the cops.
Yeah, I know. He didn't know who to argue against. It was weird listening to Reggie today.
Because he hates the cops, so he doesn't like defending
but
them.
But he hates Christians more. So he was really torn tonight. It was tough.
We got an instant message at kgovlive@aol.com.
Gotta love those.
It's funny how liberals worship rules, writes WTNV.
Amen, brother.
But they only worship the rules that they make up themselves.
Uh-huh.
So we have a new rule. You can't record a conversation.
By the way, get those Ten Commandments off the wall. All right.
Right.
Anyways.
Okay.
Anyways.
Now what do we got?
Well, and now we've got a choice here. We can go on with more instant messages or websites, or we can wait while our board op frantically scribbles out a message so that he can try to have some input on the show.
Well, with liberals worshiping rules.
Yeah. Now, Nathaniel probably knows about that.
Nathaniel, who's 16 years old.
Yeah. And a good-looking kid, by the way, according to my wife. My wife says he's a real good-looking kid.
Nathaniel,
for all you ladies out there,
went to Wendy's a couple nights ago.
Uh-huh.
With our friend Matt Sutherland when it was freezing.
Okay.
It must have been 10 degrees out. We had a cold spell just to tick off the global warming crowd. And they went to Wendy's at 10 o'clock at night. They walked to get a freezy or frozen, what do you call a shake at Wendy's?
A frosty. Frosty. Oh,
frosty. And they walked there. And so the guy wouldn't sell it to them because they weren't in a car. They were in the drive-thru, and they were really upset about that. And they were polite to the guy.
Wait a minute. They walked in the freezing cold to Wendy's
to get a Frosty, and they wouldn't sell it to him because they weren't in a car, and they were at the drive-up window. The lobby was closed.
I can't believe that's not true. Restaurant.
That is true.
Is it true?
And so they went out, and they were freezing, and they waited until a car came up, and they asked the car. They handed the driver money, said, "Will you buy us two Frosties?" So they dragged him on their way back, walking back home. But they said, and we got an instant message, LOL. What does that mean, lol?
Lots of laughs.
Laugh out loud.
Oh, laugh out loud.
Laugh out loud. I like that. That's right. And they got the Frosties, and they got back home, and they said, you know, why wouldn't this guy sell us these Frosties? And I said, you need to call and complain.
Yeah.
And they said, we're going to complain. I said, not to Wendy's. Get the Yellow Pages out. Look up lawyers. And just call some random lawyers and complain to them. Because there are too many lawyers in the world. That's why you can't get a drink at a Wendy's at 10 o'clock at night on New Year's Eve. There was nobody out there.
It's called exposure, legal exposure, Nathaniel.
Right.
That's what it is.
That's why kids can't climb trees. In Maui, there's a beautiful tree. You know those trees that send the roots down from the branches?
Oh, yeah.
A banyan tree in Lahaina.
Yeah.
It's just gorgeous, and it's perfect for kids to climb. And there's 100 kids there every moment. And there's a big sign, don't climb the trees. Mm. It's against the law to climb the trees. So we had our kids climb the trees. So did every other set of parents there. All the kids were climbing the trees. But too many lawyers, kids can't be kids. We're all too on edge that we're going to be sued.
Yeah, you know, we couldn't buy a playpen the other night, just the other night.
Why?
We went to buy a playpen. They had a special playpen on sale real cheap, which is this is the way we like to do it. But the only one that was left was the display model. So I asked the lady, I said, this is the last one of the playpens that you've got on sale. Could I get the display model? I'm willing to disassemble it myself if necessary. Right. She said, "Well, we can't sell the display model.
Why not?
Because of legal exposure. You know what they have to do with the display model?
What?
They have to throw it away.
Come
they cannot
on.
Sell it. That's what she told me.
Why?
At Target. She said they can't sell them because they were assembled by someone in the store and someone gets it home. Lo and behold, a tragedy happens. Next thing you know, Target gets sued for $8 billion.
Too many lawyers.
Too many
this
lawyers.
This is what I suggest. Every time you're forced into some irrational circumstance because of some stupid law and threat of a lawsuit, call a lawyer.
Whip open the phone
any
book.
Any lawyer
at
will
random.
Do. Call a lawyer.
There's a thick section, by the way, in any phone book.
Give us. Call us. Email us. Give us a lawyer's name and his phone number, and we'll call his voicemail on the air and complain on your behalf. Because
it's a new service
idiot
that we want to
threaten
offer.
Lawsuit.
All right. So just the depths of lack of understanding.
Yeah.
Criminal justice.
And all right.
The law. Listen to this. You want to? This is disgusting, Bob.
Yeah.
Today in Alexandria, Virginia, Zacharias Moussaoui invoked the name of Allah and declared to a court that he had nothing to plead. A judge asked him, "How do you plead to the charges of plotting to murder Americans and blow up airplanes on September 11th? He said, "In the name of Allah, I have nothing to plead."
What an idiot. Normally, if you're going to say in the name of, you're going to say something.
Yeah.
You know, you need to repent. In the name of Jesus Christ, repent. You don't say, "In the name of Allah, I have nothing to say." what a moron.
That's kind of giving Allah a bad name there, as if he's not very creative.
Yeah, right.
I have nothing to offer.
In the name of Allah, didn't Mike Tyson say something like that?
Oh, Mike Tyson. Listen to this. Mike Tyson, when he was going to fight Evander Holyfield, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He invoked the name of Allah. Yeah, he was going to fight Holyfield, and he said, "I want to eat out his heart and kill his children. All praise be to Allah."
Yeah, right. That's exactly. And without pausing, you paused a little. He didn't pause. "I'm going to eat his heart, kill his children, praise to Allah." These people, and you know what bugs me about that? Not the praise to Allah. Of course, Allah is a false god.
Yeah.
And Muhammad is his false prophet. And all his followers are going to hell unless they repent.
That sounds like it was like right out of the Quran. Did you hear how Bob just said that?
It's just the Quran. You put it in a mirror. Reverse backward masking.
That was very good.
Allah is a false god. And Muhammad is his false prophet. And all followers
are
going
to hell.
Okay.
Very
but, you know, Christians do that too, and it bugs me to no end.
What do they do?
God says, "Don't take my name in vain."
Yeah.
Christians, they say, "Praise the Lord." You know, especially like say Christian media. It's okay to praise the Lord.
Oh,
but
yeah.
A Christian media of "Praise the Lord. Welcome to the show. Praise the Let's go to camera number two. Praise the Lord. Let's go to camera number two.
I just came out of makeup. Praise God." And they put it on really thick in there. And my hair is all up nice. "Praise God." Yeah, right. I noticed that.
Yeah. And, you know, praise God with the eyelashes and praise God. And it's used just as a pause. Instead of saying, they say, "Praise God."
Oh.
And you say "praise God" when you're praising God.
Amen, brother.
That's when you say "praise God." You use the Lord's name. You speak of God when you're talking to him or about him. Not as a placeholder.
Yeah, a filler in your conversation.
Yeah, a filler in your "praise God" your conversation. That I really can't stand that. It's like, you know, idiot Tyson saying, "I'm going to rip his heart out, kill his children, praise Allah." But Christians, they should know, don't take God's name in vain. Don't just use it as a prop, as part of your shtick.
Yeah. That's what the heathens do.
Yeah.
That's what the heathens do with God's name. We don't need to be
They do it when they hit their finger with a hammer. They get mad. Christians do it as a filler. Hey, we're out of time, Doug. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Bob.
This is Bob Innett reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.